नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Dear Lord, unless one worships the lotus feet of great devotees, one will be conquered by the illusory energy, and his intelligence will be bewildered. Indeed, who has not been carried away by the waves of material enjoyment, which are like poison? Your illusory energy is unconquerable. No one can see the path of this material energy or tell how it is working. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Maharaj Nabi was inclined to performing great sacrifices for begetting a son. The son might be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but such a material desire, be it great or insignificant, is brought about by the influence of Maya. A devotee does not at all desire anything for sense gratification. Devotion is therefore explained as devoid of material desires. Anya bilashita sunya. Everyone is subjected to the influence of Maya and entangled in all kinds of material desire. And Maharaj Nabi was no exception. Freedom from Maya's influence is possible when one engages in the service of the great devotees. Mahat Charan Seva. Without worshipping the lotus feet of a great devotee, one cannot be freed from Maya's influence. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Chadiya Vaishnav Seva Nistara Payechi Keva. Who has been freed from Maya's clutches without serving the lotus feet of a Vaishnav? Maya is aparajita. And her influence is also aparajita, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Daivi yeshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. Only a devotee can surpass Maya's great influence. It was no fault on Maharaj Nabi's part that he wanted a son. He wanted a son like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the best of all sons. By the association of the Lord's devotee, one no longer desires material opulence. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sadhu Sangha Sarva Sastre Koi, Lavamatra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoi. And in Madhya Lila 22:51, Mahat Kripa Vina Kona, Karmi Bhakti Nai, Krishna Bhakti Duri Rahu Samsara Nahi Chai. If one is serious about escaping Maya's influence and returning home back to Godhead, one must associate with a sadhu, devotee. That is the verdict of all scriptures. By the slight association of a devotee, one can be freed from the clutches of Maya. Without the mercy of a pure devotee, one cannot get freedom by any means. Certainly, a pure devotee's association is necessary in order to obtain the loving service of the Lord. One cannot be freed from Maya's clutches without sadhu sangha, the benediction of a great devotee. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj says, Naisham matishthavar rukramangrim स्पृशात्यनर्थापगमो यदर्था महीयसंभादरजोऽभिषेकम् निष्किञ्चनानं न वृणीते यावत्। One cannot become the Lord's pure devotee without taking the dust of a great devotee on his head. Padarajobhishekam. A pure devotee is niskinchana. He has no material desire to enjoy the material world. One has to take shelter of such a pure devotee to attain his qualities. The pure devotee is always free from the clutches of Maya and her influence. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 3, entitled Rishabhdev's Appearance, text number 14. Maharaj Nabi, son of Agnidra, grandson of Priyavrat Maharaj, was the king of the world. It was his very deep desire to have a son, not only because it is natural for a man to want a son, but because it was his duty to God and his entire dynasty. In fact, it was his responsibility for all living beings on earth that before he retires, that he place a son duly trained by him to be the king of the world. Prabhupada explains the difference between monarchy in the Vedic times and democracy. In democracy, the common people, when they are spiritually and socially untrained, their natural inclination is towards sense gratification. Therefore, when they cast their votes, it will be on this basis: who will provide the most abundant sense gratification for me, my family, and the society around? But Srila Prabhupada explains it takes one to know one. The great kings, they were Rajarshis. They were Rishis. Krishna tells in Gita, the parampara of great kings, one of them, that he originally spoke this knowledge to Bibhiswan, who spoke it to Manu, who spoke it to Ikshvaku. And in this way, this knowledge has been passed down. Because the king is supposed to be the representative of God. Maharaj Nabi was a very, very saintly person, trained by his forefathers, knowing that the goal of life is that all the citizens live in this world in harmony with the laws and the will of God, and after departing from this body, they can go back home, back to Godhead, or at least be elevated in the process of going back home, back to Godhead. It is the goal of life. We are not the body, we are the soul. What are the needs of the body? What are the needs of the mind? And especially, what are the needs of the soul? The Rajarshis were training and facilitating that benediction for all their citizens. And they were also taking guidance from the Brahmins, qualified Brahmins. So therefore, the great kings, they knew who would be a perfect king. A perfect person knows who will be his perfect who will do perfect service for society. Therefore, who would be the next king was the exclusive right of the previous king to decide. And if he's perfect, then there will be perfect service to humanity. But in this case, Maharaj Nabi had no descendant. So with very highly qualified devotees who were Brahmins, he performed this yajna to appeal to Lord Narayan to bring about a son who was just like him. Nabi wanted the Lord to descend on earth, or at least send a son just like him, to bestow causeless mercy upon all the citizens. That was his compassion. They performed the yajna so well that Lord Narayan personally appeared. And King Nabi and the Brahmins, when they see the Lord, they're feeling ashamed. Because when they stand before God Himself, all the impurities in their own heart become very, very evident. We see even the greatest personalities, when they stand before Lord Chaitanya, when they stand before Krishna, they become extremely humble. They realize their insignificance. They realize their utter disqualifications. And great personalities who are realized always feel that they're standing before God. Therefore, they're always in such a state of humility. So they prayed to the Lord that we are so foolish that we approached you and chanted all these mantras and called you to come here for such a materialistic thing as having a son. Now, most people, if they did a yajna and the Supreme Personality of Godhead came before you and said, "Yes, your yajna is good, I have come," you would probably think, "Very good, I have done, very well done, well done." But they were not thinking like this. That is why the Lord appeared to them the way he did. They were feeling ashamed. Why do we waste your time asking for something like a son? Even though they were asking for a son just like him to rule the world out of compassion for all living beings. This is to the degree that Srimad Bhagavatam is the Paramahamsa Samhita that kicks out all cheating religions, Kaitava Dharma. Dharma Projita Kaitavatra Parama Nirmatsananam Sata. Even this slight trace of a desire within a spirit of devotion is condemned by Srimad Bhagavatam. And in these beautiful prayers, they are glorifying the Lord. And today's prayer that we are reading is very significant. Dear Lord, unless one worships the lotus feet of great devotees, one will be conquered by the illusory energy, and his intelligence will be bewildered. Indeed, who has not been carried away by the waves of material enjoyment, which are like poison? Your illusory energy is unconquerable. No one can see the path of this material energy or tell how it is working. Srila Prabhupada, in this beautiful purport, explains the power of material nature. It is the Lord's energy. It is unconquerable. And the great sages and the king are describing herein that unless one takes shelter of worshipping the lotus feet of great devotees, it is not a matter of maybe or if. that person definitely will be conquered by the illusory energy. His intelligence will be bewildered. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. And then indeed, he will be carried away by the waves of material enjoyment, which are like poison. We saw this little tiny wave, the tsunami, tidal wave. That's such an insignificant little manifestation of material energy. This one little wave coming from a little tiny ocean. And we have seen the devastation that has created. Hundreds and thousands dead, millions homeless, suffering, entire villages and towns washed away. Our devotees from Bhaktivedanta Hospital were there. And they were explaining to me, they saw places where entire villages, there was nothing left. Not a single structure. It was just leveled to the ground. You couldn't even tell anything had ever been there. Literally nothing. Just broke every house, every shop, every building, just washed it into the ocean. And then where it came back, all scattered around. That is one little wave from a little tiny ocean, which is just a very, very insignificant particle of the potency of Maya. What to speak of this ocean of material existence? All the universes in creation are floating in this ocean of material existence. And the waves are unconquerable. They are like poison. And no one can stand before it. Everyone will be conquered. Anyone who comes in contact with this waves of material existence, their intelligence will be bewildered. Except those who worship the lotus feet of the great devotees. Daiviheshu gunamayi mama maya durakyaya mamaivamye prapadyante maya metataramtite. This material energy is very difficult to overcome. These three modes of material nature are like strong ropes that keep us bound. But Krishna tells, one who surrenders, takes shelter of me, can easily cross beyond it. These scriptures tell us that material existence is like a vast, unlimited ocean. Who can cross over this ocean? But one who takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the quantity of water in that ocean is reduced to that within the hoofprint of a small calf. As His Holiness Dhanardhar Swami Maharaj was explaining yesterday, it is only by mercy. There is no other way that we can be delivered from the illusions and the sufferings of material world. Because the Jivatma, being Tatastha Shakti, has to be totally under the control of either the material or spiritual energies. When we forget our relationship with Krishna, we are deeply bound in the ocean of material existence. And there is no possibility of the infinitesimal Jivatma freeing himself or herself. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara. But Krishna is the controller of all controllers. Material nature is working under His direction. If by His sweet will He delivers us, then we are saved. There is no other hope. So how to attract the mercy of Krishna? That is the only question, actually, that can answer the problems of suffering. There's no other way how to please Krishna. So here, the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam is telling, without serving the devotees, without worshipping the great souls, Krishna will not take our service seriously. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat describes that chanting the holy names and serving the Vaishnavas is all that is required to receive the supreme mercy of the Lord. But we must learn how to do these things properly. The Lord is conquered by His devotees. The Lord makes Himself accessible only through the blessings of His devotees. Therefore, if we offend the Vaishnavas, there is nothing in the 14 worlds we can do that will bring about more wrath of God. And there is nothing greater we can do to please the Lord than to honestly and sincerely please His devotees. This is the conclusion of all the great scriptures. Therefore, those who understand these principles, they always aspire to make the ultimate goal of their life to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. In this regard, there is a very clear and powerful example. Yesterday was a very holy day, the disappearance day of Devananda Pandit. Now, who is Devananda Pandit? And why is he so prominent and so important that on the Vaishnava calendar we celebrate both his appearance day and his disappearance day? Now, if you consider all the millions of great personalities who are the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and great Paramhamsa Vaishnavas since the time of Lord Chaitanya, we could actually be having celebrations of great souls 1,000 times every day. Do you know how many great personalities they are? Pure devotees who worship the Lord with unalloyed love. But our great acharyas, they chose specific amongst this ocean of great devotees to honor their appearance and disappearance days. And why did they select only these particular few? Because of their significance and their importance in our lives. So what is so great about this Devananda Pandit? We understand the six Goswamis and Shamananda and Narottam and Thakur and Srinivasacharya. They were so prominent acharyas. They were leading the whole world in Krishna consciousness in the second generation. And when you understand very, very prominent acharyas in our parampara, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who was Rasacharya, so many volumes of books, what he accomplished, how he reinstalled the dignity of Vrindavan after it was practically plundered into ashes. Baladeva Vidyabhushan, who contributed, and the previous acharyas who are close to us, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Jagannath Das Babaji. But what about all the others in Parampara? And what about all the others who are not necessarily listed in Parampara? Why Devananda Pandit? He hasn't given us any literatures. He doesn't have any remarkable leelas. The reason yesterday all over the world, people honor Devananda Pandit, and they do it twice a year, is because the Acharyas feel the example that Lord Chaitanya taught to the world through him is absolutely essential for any of us to make proper spiritual progress. The very essence of philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is revealed by Lord Chaitanya through just a couple incidents regarding Devananda Pandit. So we should listen very, very carefully. Because if we do not understand the principle that we're about to hear, then all of our austerities, all of our learning will be ultimately futile. They will not bring us to receive the mercy of the Lord. Devananda Pandit was born in a Brahmin family. He never had any material inclinations, had no desire for possessions, completely moral and pious, very, very exemplary in his following of all regulative principles. He was very austere, very gentle, and so deeply learned in the scriptures. The only scripture he would speak from was Srimad Bhagavatam. And because of his austerity, his simplicity, his perfect mannerisms, and his erudite scholarship, many, many students were coming to study Srimad Bhagavatam from him. One day, when he was speaking Bhagavatam, Srivas Pandit heard the Bhagavatam being sung. So he came to the ashram of Devananda Pandit. And when he heard the sweet sound of the words of Bhagavatam, Srivas Thakur just uncontrollably just fell into a trance of ecstatic love, and loudly he sighed. He wasn't trying to make a show. He couldn't control himself. He was in ecstasy. He just sighed. The students of Devananda Pandit, they were thinking, look at this rascal bothering with these loud sounds. What a disturbance. So they met amongst each other and they decided what to do. They picked him up, took him outside and threw him down. Srivas Pandit, when he came to external consciousness and found himself just laying on the roadside, he felt very embarrassed, felt very bad in heart, and he went home. A teacher is responsible for the behavior of the students. Because Devananda Pandit saw what his students did and did nothing to stop them, he was responsible. Prabhupada explains in a beautiful purport where the four Kumaras are cursing Jai and Vijay in the gateway before Vaikuntha. And the Lord says that He says to four Kumaras that if my devotees have offended you, you could lop off my arms as an atonement. Because whatever offense is committed by the servant, the master is responsible. And Prabhupada explains, if you actually love your guru, You will act in such a way and speak in such a way that will bring glory to the spiritual master. If we act irresponsible, Prabhupada explains, any misdeed done by a disciple is a blemish in the image of the spiritual master. That is love. This kijai, kijai, kijai. You don't have to have much love to say those things. To give a garland is good. To try to wash someone's feet is nice. But actual love is to help the spiritual master in mission. The mission is to give integrity to Krishna consciousness, to the path of bhakti, so that people's lives can be salvaged. If people do not have faith in the Vaishnavas, they cannot have faith in Krishna or the path of bhakti. So because of this offense to Srivas Thakur, many years later, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his pastimes of Sankirtan and Navadvip, Devananda Pandit could not in any way, shape, or form appreciate Lord Chaitanya. He disregarded him. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking with his associates in this area called Kulia. And there, at the ashram of Devananda Pandit, Lord Chaitanya heard him reciting Srimad Bhagavatam and giving very, very academic, eloquent commentaries. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he became very angry. Who is this rascal who is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam? Srimad Bhagavatam speaks nothing but devotional service to Krishna. I do not hear even a single sound of devotional service coming from his mouth. This rascal has no right to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. At this very moment, I will stop this rascal. I will rip his Bhagavatam to pieces. And Mahaprabhu started running toward the house, and the devotees stopped him. Some days later, Lord Chaitanya was walking with Srivas Pandit. And they just happened to come on the road as Devananda Pandit was passing. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu went right up to Devananda Pandit and said, "You are speaking Srimad Bhagavatam? What right do you have?" The Srimad Bhagavatam is personified by the person Bhagavatam. Srivas Thakur is a pure devotee of the Lord. You disregarded him. You could not understand his love. You offended him. Therefore, you can never understand. If you offend a Vaishnava, you can never understand what is the Srimad Bhagavatam. One eats food in order to be satisfied. But day and night you are reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, but you are experiencing no devotion, no love of Krishna, and no real happiness. Then Lord Chaitanya walked away. Devananda Pandit was very embarrassed. But he could not understand. He just went on being the foremost teacher of Srimad Bhagavatam and Navadvipa. Soon after, Lord Chaitanya took sannyas and went to Jagannath Puri. Soon after that, a wonderful pastime took place. One of the most intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vakreshwar Pandit, was traveling throughout Navadvipa Dham performing Nam Sankirtan. Vakreshwar Pandit was the personification of pure devotional service. He had no material desires in his heart. There was only ecstatic love. When Vakreshwar Pandit danced, all the demigods would watch and be spiritually enthralled. When Vakreshwar Pandit would dance and chant, all the symptoms of ecstasy manifested in his body. There were tears, standing of hairs on his body. His voice would be choked up. His limbs would tremble. Sometimes he would be pale. Sometimes he would roll on the ground. Sometimes he would faint. He'd feel joy and lamentation of separation. Because Vakreshwar Pandit was so very, very dear to Lord Chaitanya personally manifested the great symptoms of ecstatic love in his body every time he danced to the chanting of the holy name. Vakreshwar Pandit was such an embodiment of humility and devotion. He came to Devananda Pandit's ashram. And when Devananda Pandit saw the humility, the compassion, and the love in Vakreshwar Pandit, his heart was attracted. He wanted to serve Vakreshwar Pandit with devotion, which he did. Here is Devananda Pandit, the very austere, learned, and famous scholar of the Bhagavad, with much devotion and love, rendering menial services to Vakreshwar Pandit. When Vakreshwar Pandit would dance, people from all directions would come to see. When he would vibrate the holy names, people would become very much uncontrolled in enthusiasm to participate. And Devananda Pandit, with a stick in his hands, he would clear an area so that Vakreshwar Pandit would dance without anyone interfering. And when Vakreshwar Pandit would faint in ecstasy, Devananda Pandit would catch him. And with great respect and devotion, Devananda Pandit would take the dust from the feet of Vakreshwar Pandit and the feet from all of his limbs and rub it on his body to become purified. Because of this service to a great devotee, something extraordinary took place. Please listen. Because of Devananda Pandit's offense to Srivas Thakur, even though Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing right in Navadvipa, where Devananda Pandit resided, he would be hearing about Lord Chaitanya. He would meet him face to face. He would be chastised by him. Devananda Pandit, not even a tinge of faith came into his heart, because he offended a Vaishnava. Even the Lord is standing before him, face to face and talking, that beautiful form, no faith awakened in his heart. But when humility and sincerity, he rendered service, he worshipped Vakreshwar Pandit, faith in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awakened in his heart. And he regretted, he repented that the Lord was living in Navadvipa and I didn't care anything for him and I offended his devotees. His heart suffered with this thought. when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling from Puri in his first attempt to go to Vrindavan, he stopped in Kulia. And there he was forgiving all the people who offended him and his devotees. In order to get the forgiveness of a devotee, one must approach a devotee. Gopal Chappal, who tried to ruin Srivas Thakur's reputation, the Lord's wrath on him cast him into a state of misery with his whole body inflicted by leprosy. Gopal Chappala, in previous occasions, approached the Lord begging forgiveness, and the Lord said, because you have offended my devotee Srivas, what you are suffering now, you will have to undergo for the next 10 million births, and walked away. Hare Krishna. The Lord didn't care that he was coming and surrendering to him. He didn't worship the devotees. But Gopal Chappala came to Kulia, and he really became humble. And Lord Chaitanya said, go to Srivas, if he forgives you, and you beg for his mercy with a sincere heart, you will be forgiven. And he gave Gopal Chappala the love of God. Then another Brahmin approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, when you were living in Navadvipa, I did not understand who you are, and I could not understand your devotees. Therefore, with my mouth, I blasphemed your devotees again and again and again. I was saying such things as it is Kali Yuga. How in Kali Yuga can anyone be a Vaishnav? How in Kali Yuga can anyone properly chant the names of the Lord? In this way, I was demeaning the devotees. But now I understand that I've made a great offense. Because I criticized the devotees, I was criticizing you. Please tell me what I can do to atone for my aparads to the Vaishnavas. Please be merciful to me. I surrender to you. Lord Chaitanya said, my dear Brahman, if one drinks poison with one's mouth, it will cause suffering and death. But if with the same mouth one drinks the nectar of immortality, it will not only neutralize and eradicate the effects of the poison, but it will give him immortality. Criticism of a Vaishnav is poison. By speaking against the Vaishnavas, one is drinking poison with one's mouth. But chanting the glories and the praises of the Vaishnavas is like life-giving nectar. Therefore, you should, with that same mouth, praise the Vaishnavas, sing the glories of the Lord, and chant his holy name. There is no other way. If you criticize and blaspheme a devotee, then there is no yajna. There is no prayaschitta. There is no sacrifice. There is no atonement that can save you from that offense. Only when you learn to appreciate and glorify the devotees can that offense be neutralized, and you will attain the ultimate perfection of life. Now go, and wherever you may be, let your mouth
always praise the glories of the Vaishnavas. And then you will gain Krishna's mercy. When the devotees heard Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speak to this Brahman, they were chanting, Jai, Jai! And the Brahman offered his dandavat obeisances again and again and again. And because he followed this instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he attained the highest perfection of life. At that time, Devananda Pandit was a distance away. He was feeling ashamed to approach the Lord. He was so humble. He was thinking, I've criticized the Lord, and I've criticized and offended his devotees. He felt so dirty that he was sitting some distance away. Lord Chaitanya was sitting amongst his associates. He saw Devananda Pandit. The Lord is the Paramatma in everyone's heart. He knew. He knew the intent of this scholar. And Lord Chaitanya called out, Oh, Devananda Pandit, you have served, worshipped, and pleased Vakreshwar Pandit. Therefore, you may come to me. I want to see you. And then Lord Chaitanya revealed his heart. He said, Vakreshwar Pandit is the Supreme Lord's spiritual potency. He is the very embodiment of pure devotional service. Vakreshwar Pandit is so pure that Krishna is personally living within his heart. Therefore, wherever Vakreshwar Pandit may be, all the holy places manifest there. The spiritual world of Vaikuntha is present wherever there is Vakreshwar Pandit. Because the Lord is so pleased to always be manifesting Himself within the heart of my devotee. Because you have served Him and you have pleased Him with sincerity, therefore, Krishna's mercy will be upon you. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that without receiving the mercy of a devotee, one cannot receive the mercy of the Lord. The most important of all spiritual principles is to serve the Vaishnavas. We were recently discussing in the residence of Kuliagram. They asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are fallen grihasthas. They didn't say grihasthas. They said, we are fallen householders. We do not know what is to be done. Please tell us, what is our duty of how to attain the mercy of Krishna? And Lord Chaitanya gave simple instructions to the whole world through them. The path of bhakti is very simple. He said, you will attain Krishna's mercy and attain the ultimate perfection of Krishna prema if you just do two things. Just chant the holy names incessantly and serve the Vaishnavas, those who are dear to Lord Krishna. That's all. On three different occasions, the residents of Kuliagram asked Lord Chaitanya how to achieve the perfection of life. And each time he said the same thing. To always chant Hare Krishna and serve the servants of Lord Krishna. It's all important. Devananda Pandit then inquired from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I am speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam. That is my life. Please tell me how I should do it. And Lord Chaitanya explained that Srimad Bhagavatam in its beginning, middle, and end, only has one subject: pure devotional service to Krishna. Everything else is temporary. When all the 14 worlds fall into devastation, pure devotional service alone remains. It is immortal. It is eternal. It is the constitutional nature of the soul. It is the only reality. Srimad Bhagavatam speaks exclusively on this subject. Just as the Lord has incarnated as Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasingha, and Ram. Similarly, the Lord has... And then those incarnations disappear from the world. The Lord is disappearing and appearing in various incarnations. Similarly, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the incarnation of Krishna. Krishna has appeared as Srimad Bhagavatam within this world. Vedavyas, the compiler of the Vedic literatures, he was unhappy in his heart until, on the order of his Guru Dev Narada, he had given the world Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence of all Vedic literatures. And therefore, he became happy. My devotee, Shukadev Goswami, he knows the essence of the Bhagavatam. Pure love for Krishna. The sadhya. And the sadhana is bhakti, the process of devotional service. He churned the essence of all the Vedic literatures to give pure devotional service. And that butter that he churned in the form of Bhagavatam was tasted and relished by Maharaj Parikshit. Therefore, Devananda Pandit, whenever you speak Srimad Bhagavatam, speak nothing else except the subject of unalloyed bhakti. There's only one goal of life, Krishna Prem, and there is only one way to achieve it. Through bhakti, devotional service. In this way, you will understand and you will reveal the essence of Bhagavatam, and your life will be perfect. There are two types of Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam that was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, and the person Bhagavat. One who hears and follows these teachings. One cannot understand the book Bhagavatam without rendering service to the person Bhagavatam. Our scripture tells us, Vrindavan Das Thakur quotes from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the Bhagavatam is so pure that any house where the Srimad Bhagavatam is present, that is considered to be a holy place of pilgrimage. What is Srila Prabhupada's mercy? Srimad Bhagavatam reveals Krishna and Krishna's Vrindavan Leelas. Srimad Bhagavatam is none different than Vrindavan. It is a holy place. The Lord Himself exclaims. Srila Prabhupada had devotees like Trinakarta Prabhu, Niranjan Swami Maharaj, Titikshapa Karunaka, and others. And we just had our marathon where millions and millions of Srimad Bhagavatams, Bhagavad Gitas are being distributed. And people are, even if they don't read them, if they just put them in their home becomes a holy place. They'll be purified simply by the presence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But they cannot actually enter into the truths of the Bhagavatam without worshipping and serving the person Bhagavatam, the devotees.
Charya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Kapaya Chekeva.
Narottam Das Thakur explains, who could possibly attain the perfection of Krishna consciousness without serving the Vaishnavas? It is simply impossible.
And herein, Srila Prabhupada quotes from Prahlad Maharaj, Naisham matis tavaru kramangrins, prasatyanata pagamo yadartha, mahiya sampada rajobhishekam, niskinchinanam navarnita yavat.
One cannot become the Lord's pure devotee without taking the dust of a great devotee on his head.
Padarajobhishekam.
A pure devotee is niskinchana. He has no material desire to enjoy the material world. One has to take shelter of such a pure devotee in order to attain his qualities.
Maya is very strong. Without the mercy of Krishna, one cannot ever be free from Maya's clutches.
And here the secret is revealed.
Just chant the holy names of the Lord with sincerity. Be very careful not to offend Vaishnavas, but to worship and serve the great souls.
Then Krishna showers his unconditional mercy upon his devotee.
That is the eternal truth.
So devotees should take this principle very, very seriously.
Is, would you like to speak something, Niranjan Swami Maharaj? Could we give him a microphone to speak something?
Dhanadhar Swami Maharaj, please give Maharaj a microphone.
I was just thinking, just 2 points where you mentioned how Devananda Pandit, even though he was in the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he couldn't appreciate it. And I was thinking of something that Sri Jiva Goswami said about the effect of the association of Vaishnavas. He said even a person who has no awareness, particularly that he's with a Vaishnava, will benefit. But he said there's only one person who cannot benefit from the association of a Vaishnava. There was some Sanskrit term that meant either something like one who has little knowledge and is proud, or maybe it was someone who's proud of his knowledge. That's the only person. He can't take the benefit. And you're talking about you have to beg forgiveness if you offend the Vaishnava to get forgiveness. And he mentioned something very interesting, that if the person won't forgive you, you have to chant incessantly. But he said what you're actually doing when you're chanting incessantly is you're actually praying to the Supreme Lord to somehow inspire that devotee to forgive you.
Thank you. Devananda Pandit had every possible good quality except devotion. Humble. He was actually humble. At least he appeared to be. Gentle, austere. He had no attachment to any material possessions. Moral. Extremely learned in the scriptures. He was a gentleman to everyone. But why? Why he couldn't appreciate the Lord? The very culmination of the Bhagavatam. Krishna Varnam Visa Krishnam Sangopanga Shaparashanam. In the age of Kali, Krishna appears in a beautiful golden complexion along with his associates. And here Lord Chaitanya is with the Panchatattva performing Harinam Kirtan every day in Navadweep, and Devananda Pandit see it. But he had no appreciation. He had no faith. Nothing. Why? He was an impersonalist. He was an impersonalist when the personality of Godhead's dancing at his door. Because he had some pride in his scholarship. He had some pride in his knowing Bhagavatam. And he didn't even directly offend Srivas. He simply didn't do anything when his students did. Because of that pride and that Vaishnava parad, there is no one like Devananda Pandit in human society today as far as pious religious qualities. But pious religious qualities is not the qualification to get the Lord's mercy. It's the willingness and the sincerity to serve the Lord's devotees. During Navadweep, Jagai and Madhai got pure devotional service. Those drunkards who were just totally intoxicated with wine all their lives, they got pure devotional service. And Devananda Pandit is carrying on reading Bhagavatam with not a touch of it. That is why we celebrate his appearance day and disappearance day. Because it is the most important of all lessons that Lord Chaitanya gave through him. That we must not offend Vaishnavas. We must learn to serve and worship the Vaishnavas. We must learn to put to every morning, just like we're bathing every morning, every day we should give our consciousness abhishekam of the dust of the feet of the devotees. Then only will Lord Chaitanya be pleased to manifest his full mercy when we chant the holy names. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very, very much.